All right, good evening, everybody. Got the signal, we'll get started. My name's Craig Maladra. I'm one of the aldermen from the 5th Ward. Welcome to... I have no idea what just happened. So welcome to tonight's Committee of the Whole meeting. I'll let the record show all the aldermen are present. First item of business, consider the consent agenda. The only item on the consent agenda is approval of minutes.
Move to approve the minutes of March 25th.
Second.
By Alderman Vogelsberg. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Moving on to item 4A, proclaim April 9th, 2013 as National Service Recognition Day. Yeah, somebody from the Illinois Food Bank.
There we are.
Come on up.
Come on up. Well, welcome to the podium, if you could, and introduce yourself for the benefit of the committee and those watching at home and those joining us in the audience.
My name is Dan Sitton. I'm the AmeriCorps Vista leader at the Northern Illinois Food Bank.
Dan, you and I had the pleasure of meeting when we had a delegation from Brazil, I believe, in town, right?
That is correct.
That was about a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently I was contacted by the Northern Illinois Food Bank and asked to make a proclamation for the Mayor's Day of Recognition for National Service, and of course we're pleased to do so. And it's appropriate that you're here because you are, in essence, the quintessential service volunteer because of your work with AmeriCorps. So tell us a little bit about what you do at the food bank.
Well, there are 8 Vistas at the Northern Illinois Food Bank. I'm just one of them.
And what is VISTA for the benefit of all those who don't know the acronym?
VISTA is short for Volunteers in Service to America. It is it's part of the AmeriCorps program, which is like a domestic version of the Peace Corps.
Right.
Cool. And there are 8 of us working at the food bank. There are 3 of us that are working on behalf of the food bank, trying to engage the community in our 13-county service area. There are 4... that are working with pantries throughout the 13-county service area to try to help them build capacity and to feed more hungry neighbors. And there's also one VISTA working with our volunteer department at the food bank who's helping to kind of better our volunteer practices.
And what is your function in particular?
My function is one thing that I do is I work with the some of the pantries in Kane, DuPage, and Kendall County, and I'm also the AmeriCorps VISTA leader. And so I just kind of act as someone to help the practice of the VISTAs at the food bank and try to help make sure that our processes and everything work out well.
So you corral the VISTAs.
Yeah, you could say that.
Now, how were you chosen as leader? Was that chosen amongst your peers or because of your background?
It was a position that I applied for and was
okay.
Chosen for.
Fantastic. Tell us a little bit about yourself personally.
Where
are you from? Because you told me all about it, but it's a good story.
Okay. Well, I went to high school down in Plainfield and went to college in Oklahoma at Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Then I came back to Oswego and worked for a couple years, and then I did VISTA last year in Ohio working on a self-sufficiency program, and then this year I decided to come out to the food bank and work there.
So when you apply through VISTA, they can place you virtually anywhere.
Oh, you have some say over.
You apply
to direct positions is how.
I see. Okay. And what motivates you to get involved in this type of work?
You know, honestly, I feel really lucky. I feel like things worked out for me in life, and I feel like there are a lot of people who didn't get the luck that I got. And so I feel as part of my civic duty, I need to give back. And that's why I do what I do.
That's nice. So are you a Plainfield Wildcat?
Yes, I am.
Holy, so is Miss Fornari. Amazing, isn't it? She laughs as much as you do. And what year did you graduate from Plainfield High School?
05.
05. You're a young man.
Yeah.
No, you're
old. Or I'm an old man. And off to Oklahoma Wesleyan. For what reason?
It just seemed like a good fit. I don't really know how to explain other than just... I visited the campus. I liked it. It was small, and it had what I was looking for.
That's fantastic. And what was your major?
I ended up graduating with a major in global studies, and I minored in business.
Global studies.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your recommendation on North Korea? So I'm sure the president's tuning in, as is Kim Jong-un, I'm sure. So, well, we're delighted that you're here, and we do have a proclamation for you. Is there anything else you'd like to share with all of us? Obviously, the proclamation is not specifically tailored toward Northern Illinois Food Bank, but, of course, you represent one of the largest not-for-profits in Geneva and certainly have raised the bar with respect to service for not only our residents but throughout the, as you indicated, 13-county area.
I just want to say thanks on behalf of the VISTA program and the Northern Illinois Food Bank.
That's awesome. Well, please give our best to Mr. Schaefer and the entire team. And we're delighted you're here tonight, Dan. You're a brave guy to come out. What are you doing after the meeting?
I don't know.
Well, 25 here. What is it? Any comments from the committee about anything? Alderman Brown? Excuse me. That's yours.
Yes. We understand, of course, we all know that Geneva is a town that prides itself on volunteerism, and there are a very large number of various functions in town that need volunteers. You have to be one of the largest. Could you give us an idea of how many volunteers? I've been out there on a Saturday morning, and it's just incredibly impressive what you do. You have any idea how many volunteers you have on your list?
I don't know. There are so many that I can't keep track of.
I'm sure you're always looking for more. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Anybody else? Nope. Okay. Okay. So could I have a motion to proclaim April 9th, 2013 as National Service Recognition Day?
So moved. Second.
Alderman Flanagan, seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Well, Dan, this is for you, man.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Mary. Your Plainfield Wildcat reminded me of something. So. We hope you'll share this with pride, and we certainly appreciate you being here, man.
Good to see you.
Yeah. That's for you.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. You're not going to stick around for the rest of the meeting?
We'll see.
A true volunteer, right? He's got something better.
I think he sat by the door for a reason.
Smart move. Thank you very much.
Smart guy. All right, item 4B, presentations on solid waste services. I would like to emphasize that there will be no action tonight. The agenda calls for presentations only. For the committee to take any action would basically be illegal. I'm not exactly sure why we asked for the presentations anyway. I think there was some confusion between options 1, 2, and 3. So hopefully these presentations will clear that up. I'd like to remind everybody that in the end, when a decision is made, we're legally obligated to accept the lowest responsible bid. So tonight, one of the things we're going to do is make sure that the bids that we've received are apples to apples so that we can make that decision. The timing is going to be, we'll have presentations tonight. We will discuss this again as a committee of the whole on the 22nd of April. And then we will discuss it, or it will be forwarded to the City Council on the 2nd of May. Okay?
May 6th.
Beyond 2 weeks, I get confused. All right, so advance. You guys lead off. You have 2 minutes.
Let's make sure I start the right one and not my competitors. Okay. Thank you very much. My name is Bob Pfister. I'm the Municipal Marketing Manager for Advanced Disposal, and I want to thank you for allowing us to give the presentation tonight. What I'd like to do tonight is quickly go through why I believe Advanced Disposal is the best choice for the residential collection contract in Geneva, and at the end I'd like to show a short video of an educational piece we put together for grade school children that we basically go out to all the schools and show them. So it's really kind of a nice piece. Okay, first of all, Advanced Disposal, we feel, is the best choice for five reasons. We offer the best price. We offer the best service options. We offer the best programs. And we offer the best education.
Don't feel bad. They're always taking the controls away from me.
Okay, first of all, with pricing options, option two, we are the lowest responsible responder for that option. We came in at $2.85. Your current Republic came in at $3.30. For the Yardway stickers, we're $2.85, and my competition was $2.30. And for half bags, $1.85 and $2.50. For some reason, I can't get to the first slide in my presentation. But if you'll look at the option one, we came in at $2.70 a sticker. Competition came in at $3, and your current rate is $3.15. Half bag, we came in at $1.65. Competition was at $2.15, and your current rate is $2.30. For this recycling cart rental, for both options one and option two, we came in at $1.20 per month for the rental of an additional cart. The competition came in at $4.25 under option one, option two, $3.25. So we clearly gave the best, lowest responsible price there also. Some statistics. In 2012, Geneva had 242,950 refuse and yard waste stickers. When you take that number and you divide it by just the number of sticker customers, which are 5,267, you come out with less than 88.88 stickers per week. What's interesting to note there, that also includes yard waste. Okay, it's one sticker. So when you look at just garbage stickers, that number we estimate is between 0.7 and 0.75 of just garbage stickers. In 2012, you had 5,651.9 tons of refuse. When you divide that out by the total number of units you have, that's only 30 pounds per week, and that includes the cart customers, which put a lot of garbage out because they have the cart. That's why they have them. So 30 pounds per unit per week, including the cart customers. Another statistic is 74% of your residents use the volume-based program. Only 26% use the carts. To give you an idea where our prices land, our sticker price is basically equal to what it was 5 years ago. In 2008, your sticker price was $2.68. We came in at $2.70. So we were only two cents higher than that. The half bag, we're actually 15 cents lower than it was 5 years ago. When you started this last contract, it was $1.85, and we're now at $1.60. We offered the fairest pricing model of all the responders. We made sure that our pricing for the sticker did not subsidize a lower optional cart cost, meaning we kept the sticker price low, and because that's what 75% of your residents use, we didn't raise that so that we could lower the optional cart. The sticker price is not subsidizing a higher cart cost. Our pricing also reflects the true cost for each of the individual service types. We're truly a user-based pricing approach. So we kept everything in the right pot. Nothing subsidizes anything else. We also provide the best service options for the city. We'll be purchasing new trucks for this collection contract. Another plus we have is that we use one-pass trucks to collect the yard waste and the recycling, which means we take a truck off the street. You don't have a garbage truck, a recycling truck, and a yard waste truck going down. You only have two trucks when you use Advanced. We can do that because our transfer station is right in Batavia, and we take both the yard waste and the recycling there. So we have that ability to offer that where other competition doesn't. Our recycling cart is a completely separate color from our garbage cart. It makes it very easy for the residents, for kids, to recognize a blue recycling cart from a green garbage cart. So there really isn't a chance for people to put what they thought was recycling into the garbage. When you have different color lids, that is a problem. We'll continue the same collection days that you have now, Thursday and Friday. We didn't change that. We'll be continuing under options one and two, basically the same collection program, a volume-based program. The only caveat to that would be if the city council decides to pick option two, you would have 65-gallon recycling carts or whatever the customer picks, whether it's a 35-95. They get a choice of all three. We offer a very low monthly rate for an additional recycling cart, like I said before, if somebody wants an additional recycling cart. And we don't change the color of the refuse or yard waste sticker when the contract rolls over year to year when you have a price increase. We just go with the same color sticker. So if somebody wants to buy 5 years' worth of stickers in year one, we honor them the whole year. But it just makes it very easy for the residents when the color doesn't change, that they just can buy, and they don't have to worry about changing them or changing them out. So we think that's a great service option.
We're not encouraging a black market in ticket sales.
That's true. We also offered an optional yard waste cart program. With our program, it's only billed during the yard waste season, which is April 1st through November 30th, so they don't pay for that cart during the winter or when we don't pick up yard waste. Our service also allows extended service interruptions through winter vacations. Some snowbirds use that, quite frankly, because they leave in December. They don't come back to April. So, you know, if they're not using the service, they don't have to pay for it. But that's what we do. We also hot stamp the list of recyclables right on the top of the lid so that people can remember and know what is recyclable, what's not. We have the best people. This is one I'm really proud of. These are the actual people in our Batavia location that will service you. When you look at the years of service we have there, we have a combined 149 years of industry experience. We know what we're doing. I did bring three of our management personnel here. I'd like to introduce them. First, Jim Alderman. He's our general manager. He's in charge of our division, Elise Kowal. She is our customer service rep who takes care of all of our customers. And Scott Greider is our operations manager who's in charge of the operation. So they take wonderful pictures, but they look better in person, I always say. So it's nice to put a face with a name. So
I'm going to give you a two-minute warning.
Okay. We have the best maintenance programs also. What you see here is a simulator. I took that picture this afternoon. We have a training center in Batavia on Hageman Avenue. Every one of our new drivers goes through a simulator to simulate that. We have the best maintenance programs. I won't go through all of those. What that means is you don't have trucks that are leaking on the street, no oil, no breakdowns. Safety and training programs, all of our drivers are safe. They're trained, again, with the simulator. I don't know of any other company in our industry that has that. Customer service, this is a priority for Advanced Disposal. We manage the contract for the city. We make sure that you're not spending resources on managing the contract. We have trained customer service reps. We have undertaken a task. We have an outside company that comes in and does silent shoppers, which is Tutti Company. We're, as far as I know, we're the only ones that do that. So we take customer service very, very seriously. Here's some of the aspects of the training program: audits, new hire training, ongoing customer service training. You have that. Since I'm on my two-minute warning, I'm going to go by that.
1 minute.
All right, the transition. You can read the transitions, but we would develop a brochure outlining the program, distribute that to all the residents. You have two copies of brochures there, one we distributed in Wheaton and one we distributed in Cary. The reason I showed you two of them was because those are vastly different programs, and we tailor those brochures to the program in each individual municipality. There's a notification to sticker vendors. We'd have all the stickers out by June 15th. We provide extra collection equipment during the first 2 weeks of service for seamless transition. And then the educational material. First of all, here's the door hanger that every resident that has cart service would get so that they don't have service interruptions. Remember, they don't have cans. They use a cart. So we need to get to them right away to make sure they sign up for the cart service so that we can get the cart out to them before the contract starts. Sticker and vendor notification. This is a poster that we used in Cary. We get that out to all the sticker vendors. We also have them on stand-up cards, which indicates to the resident that the contract's changing. Only buy the stickers you need, and you can kind of read that too. And I talked about the educational brochures, and I won't go through that. We do have a video that I'm going to leave it for you. You can take a look at it because I just ran out of time.
Right.
So.
No, we don't need to see that, but if we'll stay there for a second. So it was a lot of material to cover in a relatively short amount of time. So does anybody have any questions for Mr. Pfister? Kilbert.
A few questions.
Sure.
The first one would be, you've got a collection point in Batavia. Where does our solid waste go from Batavia then? Where are the landfills that our waste here in Geneva is being transported to ultimately?
Ultimately, it would be transported from Geneva to our Batavia transfer station and from there out to our Orchard Hills landfill, which is about 10 miles south of Rockford on Route 251. It's in Davis Junction, okay. Just north of 72 and 251.
How long have you been hauling to that site? Were you hauling to that site at the beginning or last, or the contract that's expiring?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. I guess my next question was, what was the major complaint? And you have a rep with that handles customer service as it relates to Geneva residents. In other words, when there was a complaint that was called in, what would be the one or two major complaints that Geneva residents had with their waste?
I don't think they're the incumbent.
Okay. I'm just saying, though. With your customers normally, what would be the first or second major complaint that you normally encounter?
I would say the most.
We know aldermen are always getting complaints.
As far as residents calling in, a lot of times people call in and say that they were missed for missed pickups, and a lot of times they're more a laid out than they are a missed pickup. But it really depends on the situation. I would say that would be the one call that we get the most, although mostly people call us to pay their bill over the phone.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next question. If you were in our position and you were looking at the length of the contract, obviously if you look at where we're at right now, we've been paying somewhere maybe in the range of 40 to 50 cents more per sticker in the last year or two than maybe we needed to. If it was your decision, whether or not you get the contract or the bid or not, what would be your recommendation to the city council as it relates to the length of the contract? Is a five-year contract what we should be really looking at? Would a three-year contract better serve the community?
No, I believe the five-year contract would benefit the community the best. Number one, it doesn't go out too far. You can see the pricing you've got now 5 years from your other contract. If you go out 10 years, you're guaranteeing raises for the 5 years, 5 through 10. When you go down to a three-year and you potentially add carts and new equipment, the depreciation creeps up on that because you're depreciating those carts over a shorter period of time, so your depreciation costs go up. We've found that 5 years is pretty much the norm and the best bet for that.
But wouldn't it cost the – the resident less if, in fact, we'd have renewed the contract 2 years ago here in Geneva? I mean, based off of the information that we've been given?
I believe our numbers are lower than what you had two years ago.
That's what I'm saying. And I mean, if we'd have revisited the contract, you know, over a shorter period of time, would we have been better served? That's my question.
Is that guaranteed?
Well, let him answer.
Okay. I would say, you know, we have the benefit of hindsight and to see what's happened in the last 3 years with the economy and whatnot. So if you look at it, yes. If you look there, if you were to look at it 3 years ago, you could have possibly gotten higher rates at that point. So, yeah, hindsight tells me you're absolutely right, but, again, that's hindsight.
Okay. One last question.
Sure.
In the communities that you serve, what are you doing to support local charities?
Can I ask Jim to come up for that?
I'm Jim Alderman, as you mentioned, the last name,
yeah.
Right? every community, I could go through an exhaustive list. Some of the main things we do, one is the kindergarten program that we brought the DVD. I encourage you all to take a look at it at some point. But we actually go to the schools, talk to kindergartners about garbage truck safety, how to stay away from them, things like that, encourage recycling. We do that with several churches, several nonprofit daycares, things like that. We also support the Northern Illinois Food Bank. We actually bought them one of their trucks, our company did, volunteer over there. It's an exhaustive list, but we do it per community, and it's really based on what's asked and what's needed. We're going to do a prairie path cleanup here for Earth Day as a group.
Very good. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. Anybody else? Ooh, Alderman Brown.
I'm sure if you make your video available, it can be sent to the council by email or something, so we'd love to see it. Please make it available to the IT people.
I have it. It's right here.
Yes. Probably can be made part of the city's video of tonight's meeting. Thank you.
Mr. Marks.
Just two quick questions just to clarify on the contract. Option one, the recycling toters, is that the current toter that we're using now, or is that how is that done underneath option one?
Under an option one, you would have the current 18-gallon bins that you use now. Okay. The rental would be for 65, for 35, or 95, whatever they would want.
And the second option gives a 65-gallon recycling toter within there.
That is included in the price.
So. Can they still use the bins that they're using now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they can.
They could still use those.
We do have people that use a 65 and a bin. There's a lot. What we do is if they do that recurrently, we try to get them to a 95. It helps both them and us from a productivity standpoint. So we see somebody continually going over. We try to make that.
But if people are just using the bins, you don't have a problem with
no.
That. Okay. That's all I had.
Oh, thanks. I just had one quick question. For the Snowbird program, you said you'll suspend service. So that's just if people are renting the toters, right? Because if they're using the stickers, there's nothing to suspend.
Yeah, whatever there would be a monthly billing on,
you'll give them.
We would suspend that. If they were on the pure volume-based program, they wouldn't have to really do anything because they just wouldn't have a sticker.
Okay,
so
thank you.
We suspend a monthly billing on for whatever it might be that they're renting.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mr. Singer.
Thank you. I suspect the service we presently have is one in which if a holiday falls during collection period, you would come by on a Saturday.
Yes.
Okay. If one of the toters is damaged in some way or means, all one does is call your service people and they will provide a new one?
Absolutely. The toters are maintained by Advanced Disposal, so if they're broken, we come out, we take that one, and we bring them a new one. They're maintained by us for the entire length of the contract.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick one is all of the concerns and of the residents handled then through your company only and not through the city? I mean, do they call Public Works still, or would they call the refuse?
I think
directly.
either. But
yeah, we have our phone available for any resident that calls us.
Okay.
If the city would like it to go through the city, well.
No, I was just wondering.
But if you want it to go through us, it goes through us.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Pister.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Republic. Just to recap, 2 minutes times five.
No problem. Just had to figure out how, it'll take me 2 minutes to figure out how to get out of here.
We don't start.
Good evening. Tim Lindner, Municipal Services Manager, Republic Services, Allied Waste. City of Geneva, Republic Services, and Allied have been partners for the last 10 years. A few things about Republic. Republic was formed back with a merger with Allied Waste back in 2008. We are the second largest waste hauler in the U.S. and number one in Chicago. A few facts about us here locally. We have proven...
They just can't help themselves.
How about that?
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Don't take this off his time.
Sorry, I can't.
Okay, sorry.
It's down on the bottom line there.
You want me to just go by?
Yeah.
5%.
Yeah.
Got it.
View.
Really doing it someone.
Okay. New slideshow.
Oh, boy. That's going to take 5 minutes to do that. Okay. Terrific. All right. Got that one. Proven, consistent, reliable service. Safety is our number one priority. We have experienced drivers servicing the city of Geneva. A local management team. Basically, we have a dedicated supervisor every day when we are in town for service. And we're very active in the community and a good community partner. 2013, we are scheduled to switch over to compressed natural gas, 28 trucks in our Elgin facility and a new fueling station. This chart here shows the increase of cart rentals since 2008 and a decline in sticker sales for the same period of time. We've projected sticker sales using April, May, and June sales from last year and to sort of project that for you. Option one, the enhanced curbside program, is a program that we, based on the feedback we heard last week, we feel is the best, most logical option for the city of Geneva. It's the current program, and we'll call it enhanced simply because we're currently right now we're only offering a 95-gallon refuse cart for rental. With this option, there's a 35 and a 65-cart option rental. The refuse cart customers receive a free recycling bin at no charge with this program. Some highlights of this program are that all residents benefit from reduced rates, anywhere from currently 18 cents a sticker up to $7.15 a month should you currently be renting the two carts, which there are a number of people doing. I encourage you to look beyond just the sticker prices, but also look at the total overall cost of the program. Again, with the 35, 65, and 95-gallon option, refuse option, the free recycling, our escalators are smaller in years 2, 3, and 4 than our competitors. Option one to us gives the residents the most choice and provides the overall lowest cost service. Option two is the current volume-based program with a mandatory recycling cart. Everybody needs to have a recycling cart. Some concerns here basically is an increased level in contamination of recycling simply because the resident has a financial incentive maybe to place that refuse inside the recycling cart. Again, a mandatory recycling cart is a concern. And with option two, the cart rental options are higher than option one. By the way, we do have samples of the carts out back as well for your viewing pleasure. The Ultimate Limited Program, as the current service provider, we provided a couple of alternate proposals. One was our unlimited program and our 10-year pricing. There are some advantages of that program. A, the resident selects the size of cart, but as we heard last week, there didn't seem to be a lot of interest there. It does keep a clean, uniform appearance, and there's no need for a resident to purchase a recycling cart or garbage can throughout the life of the contract. Our other alternative was the modified volume-based program, where residents choose a 35, 65, 95-gallon cart for a monthly fee. Again, they would get the recycling cart for free. The advantages of this program, basically, residents get to pick the cart they need. The fee structure is based on the material generated. The community is left with a clean, uniform appearance. To summarize, based on our experience within your community and other volume-based programs, we feel that option one or the modified-based program are the most logical progression for the City of Geneva. Again, this option one being the volume-based program, residents can rent a 35 or 65 or a 95-gallon refuse cart at lower rates and get a refuse cart or recycling cart for free. Any questions at this time?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your competitor emphasized one truck instead of two in areas of town without curbs. That actually makes a difference in our road maintenance costs. Do you do one truck or two trucks?
We'd be actually three trucks, one for every each of the schools.
I noticed that the other day, and that reminded me of the problem that we have a number of areas in town with no curb and gutter, and tends to make the roads split in the middle and separate. Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Marks.
Just the same questions I asked the other gentleman. So you will be requiring then everyone to use the toters, not what we currently use, or?
No, the option one is the current program.
Okay.
You can use a curbside recycle bin, you can use a garbage can.
Okay.
Or you can rent, and if you look at our pricing for the price of the rentals, 35 starting at $15.50, we thought, and our experience with another suburban community, similar type decision that you're going through this evening, they rolled out the cart options, and we saw a drastic increase in cart participation. We would look at, right now it's at 25%, as I said last week, and we anticipate that increasing to about 40 with the different cart options out there. Again, 25% of the people have 95-gallon carts right now.
Okay.
And there's about 430 that are renting a recycling cart as well. But
if we used option two, though, then would the standard 65-gallon recycling total be mandatory, or would it still be able to use the
They would have options. Choice. Would have options, but I believe option two, the way the bid specs are read, is that it's a recycling cart.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Thank you.
Mr. Kelvin.
Where do you transport our solid waste?
To one of two transfer stations, and it ends up in our landfill in Dixon, Illinois. So we either go to the Elburn Waste Management Speedway or Waste Management's facility, Groot's facility in West Chicago.
If you were in our shoes, We're looking at a contract now that is significantly less than what we're currently paying. If you read the newspaper or everything that we've been told over the last decade, is that disposal is going to cost the taxpayer more as we move forward. But the bids that we received would indicate that it's actually going to cost us less. How do you substantiate that?
Well, again, I think 5 years ago it went out to bid. We were awarded the low bid at that particular point in time. I'll agree with Mr. Pfister. Hindsight's, a wonderful thing. Price of fuel, price of different things. Again, I think that
fuel's gone up.
Fuel, that's what I said, fuel has gone up, and we do hedge that on our, in our pro formas of this is where it is, this is where we think it will be. My crystal ball is a little foggy, but I think, too, with option one, you know, again, there's obviously, to me, there seems to be a need out there for the carts, and at $22.55 and now in the $19.25 range, I think a lot more people are going to jump on the bandwagon, as per my slide showed.
A similar question to what I'd asked advanced. What are you doing in the community currently to support charities that we have?
Well, every community we do. In this community, we've been a sponsor of the Geneva Dancing with the Stars for the last 6 years.
Okay.
Again, try to get it where we are. Though it's obligation through the contract to get involved in the community festivals, participate in those as well. So, and each community is different. Schooling, I didn't bring our video, but again, it's Garbage Man Gus. It's got a nice little wrap to it. So,
why should we pay more to Republic than Advanced? Obviously, if you look at the sticker price, it's less with option one. Over that five-year window. I mean, the statistics that Advance gave us indicates that most people will buy less than one sticker per week on average. That's 75% of the residents in Geneva. That's the route that they've gone. Now, you're saying it's going to increase somewhat maybe into the future, but based on the information we have, I mean, you've made some good arguments, but why would we want to direct our business with Republic?
Again, I think we have been a good community partner. We've serviced the town for the last 10 years. I really strongly encourage you to look beyond and do the pricing structure based on the options that are out there. I anticipate the cart participation to be higher. And two, should we be selected, and we will do a annual summary each year of the services and the cost. And at the end of 5 years, should there be more in our favor than the city's favor, a rebate would come back to the city.
Okay, that's something I don't think we've been told. Is that something we've been aware of? Dan, is that something we've been informed of? Huh?
No.
Okay.
If I can interject on that program real quick, all that is to show you that we are the lowest cost option, lowest cost provider in option one. That's a guarantee to the city that will provide you based on the number of stickers sold, based on the number of cart rentals, because this will drive cart sales.
And so if we're not aware of it, then it wasn't part of the bid. And so what we're talking about here is we're trying to get enough information so we can evaluate competitive bids. Mm-hmm. This wasn't part of the bid. Then we'll be like lawyers and strike that comment.
I think the only thing we're trying to show is you have to compare apples to apples. And the challenge is we're focusing a lot on the sticker price. We just want to make sure that the cart price, the appliance services, as well as the yard waste price are all factored into the decision. That's all we're trying to point out.
Okay, and I guess my last question is based off of recent history. It was the same question I'd asked before. Why should we enter into a 5 or a 10-year contract when we've seen that actually it's going to cost us less moving forward, and we've probably paid a premium the last 2 or 3 years.
I think that every contract at its own particular point in time, companies do things in a certain way for a certain reason. Again, 5 years ago, we were low bid, and we felt we sharpened our pencil and gave the best pricing. It was the bid specs were a 5-year bid spec. We went out and over and above and said, well, let's do the 10-year with some pricing and small escalators. Again, that was when the cart program, where obviously the 10 years makes more sense with carts being in the community because we can amortize the carts over a longer period of time as opposed to that 3-year period of time.
I looked through the information, and I didn't see what a merchant receives for a $3.18 sticker currently. What would a merchant who contracts and distributes your stickers, what would they receive?
They basically, it's more of a traffic flow through through their store. They don't receive any.
There's no reimbursement.
No. Okay, no.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for our partners at Republic? Nope. All right, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, again, we're not looking for a decision tonight. We will make no decision tonight. This will be discussed again at the Committee of the Whole on April 22nd.
Mr. Chairman, is there a possibility that someone in the audience may have a question? Is that possible?
Good point. Does anybody in the audience have a question? All right.
Can I ask one final question? Would the gentleman be kind enough to leave the containers there so we can see them after the meeting? They can be picked up, I'm sure, tomorrow morning. I'd like to look at the three myself. I don't know how big a 95-gallon container is.
All right. Okay, so moving on, items of business, 5A, recommend draft resolution authorizing renewal of Geneva Liability Property Excess Workers' Compensation Insurance. Excess liability policies, renewal and brokerage fees in the amount of $436,659. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
I have a motion on the left side. Is anybody on the right side up with me?
Second.
All right. Questions? Comments? Okay.
We're looking at a 3.4% increase over last year. Is that correct? And I guess my question is the break point on when the insurer would assume responsibility, is that the same as last year?
Are you asking for the workers' comp?
Yes. Or,
yes, that is the same. And we actually
that level is what, 400,000?
500,000.
Okay.
We actually have Jessica Edelman here from Arthur J. Gallagher. If she's with our broker, if you have any other questions. But one of the things she did tell us in our meeting last week is the reinsurer wanted to up that self-insured retention to 600,000, but they kept it at 500,000 because we have a very strong return to work light duty program.
I guess I would have a question for.
Hi.
Workman's comp is a liability, I think, in attracting industry to the state of Illinois. What do you see? What does municipalities like Geneva need to do moving forward to help try to address this this liability that the state of Illinois has?
It's really programs like the Return to Work program and making your employees recognize that submitting a claim does hurt the city, and if it's not a legitimate claim, that something shouldn't be filed against the city. It's really what the insurers are telling their clients right now. There's also a lack of insurance companies, as you can imagine.
See that.
That in Illinois, there's actually only four that would look at a self-insured retention program for Geneva. There's one other one that was willing to look at a first dollar basis, but it was much more expensive, and you'd be spending more money if you didn't take on the self-insured retention.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Dean. Any other questions?
Nope.
So,
roll call or voice vote?
Voice vote sufficient. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Nope. Five B, consider draft resolution authorizing execution of a 5-year contract with Tri-City Family Services to administer the Employee Assistance Program. I have a motion.
Move.
Alderman Hill, going to give it to Alderman Vogelsberg through the raising of the hand. Okay, any questions?
I'd have one question on that.
Okay.
Could you tell me a little bit about how frequently this has been used? Do we have an annual usage rate? How many employees have actually taken advantage of the program? This has been over what our last contract was?
5 years.
Any kind of an idea on
Sure.
On the level of participation in it?
We do get an annual report. We don't have this last fiscal year because we get it April 30th, but for last fiscal year, we had clinical utilization was 2.8%, so there was a total of 7 cases. However, 45 employees were served through the various training programs that they offer. They said that our direct ratio of services was 3.2%. The average is about 3 to 5% nationwide. So we're right in the use. I think one of the things that's important about any AAP program is, one, making sure people know we have it available. And it's not necessarily a bad thing if you don't have a lot of people calling to use it, but it's good to have there in case a need arises. And the way this plan works is it's for the employee or any of their dependents.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How did this program differ from last year's contract?
The contract,
I know that the contracts were a lower price.
They're a lower price because we have fewer employees.
Right, I understand.
They've also added, in the past contracts, we had 1 to 3 visits per episode.
Right.
They're now increased that 1 to 5, which that does is it allows them to meet with the employee or their dependent longer before they send them out for other treatment and work with their insurance. They also offered a new program called, I think it's called a work-life program. And what that is they have several different functions under that. One is legal services. One is kind of like Angie's List. If you're doing home improvement and need recommendations, they have a list of things like that. They have, I think I listed out, there were 5 different things that fall under that work-life program, which is a completely new component of this contract that we did not have under the last contract.
Okay, and we still had the caveat of that extra charges for there was some program that
but it's the same as what it was
before. Okay.
Sorry, I was looking for it right here. So the work to life services are child adoption, education, elder care, dependent care. Any questions you have regarding any of those issues, they have a number that you can call and get resources and referrals to work through that. And then again, the sessions have increased, which I think is really, really advantageous.
And they decreased in the cost factors.
And they decreased in the cost factors because it's primarily based on an employee number. They also provide annual training. We get so many trainings a year to either do for supervisors or all employees, and they give us a list of topics they can come in on, and we survey the employees to see what would be most beneficial.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, any other questions? Alderman Brown.
Just an observation that this is one of a number of benefits we provide for employees, and this is probably the least expensive of all of them, and I think it's actually a very good program, so I have no problem with this one at all.
Okay, any other questions?
Maybe to tag on to Alderman Brown, just on a per employee cost, everyone out there might want to know. I think it was like, what, $2.70 per employee per month. So it is a very.
Yes. And that's got to be far and away the most inexpensive benefit we provide by a big factor.
And we can, if there's issues with work, supervisors can refer employees there. They're self-referral. We only get an aggregate number. If it's a supervisory referral, we are told that, yes, they attended or they didn't attend. But beyond that, obviously, there's confidentiality involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions? Nope. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nope. Item 5C, recommend draft ordinance amending Title 4, Chapter 2, Section 4-2-13 of the adding 1 Class A2 liquor license to the Geneva City Code, Parent Petroleum, I believe. We have Mr. Morgano in the audience today.
So moved.
Alderman Volsberg, do I have a second? Alderman Cummings. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
So do you guys have any questions?
I've got a question.
Could he introduce himself, please?
Absolutely. Sure. Sorry about that.
Thank you for letting me come tonight. My name's Guy Morgano. I work for Parent Petroleum Retail. I'm the general manager.
All right.
Go ahead. Welcome. And I'm not texting. I have notes on my phone, so I'm being dragged into the new age. So I have a couple of issues, and it's going to relate to my support of the license. And again, I don't know if this is
customary or not, but there's a couple of things as it relates to the business that I have a concern about. You have vacuums with trash cans, and are those a part of your business and your responsibility then?
At the new location, no, sir, they're not. They will be removed. When we purchased the location from the Fuller's Quick Stop, that was part of their program to have the free vacuums, or they may charge for the vacuums, and they're on the east side. They're on the east side of the property. Those are going to be removed.
Okay. My concern is that there's trash cans. There's four or five trash cans there. They fill up. There's no lids on those trash cans. On a day like we had today, about two-thirds of it ends up on the north side of East State Street. Mm-hmm. And the residents over there are very concerned. This has been sort of an ongoing problem for the last couple of years. I think as a good neighbor, I would strongly encourage you to police up that area in their landscaping so that they don't have to deal with it on an ongoing basis. So anything that you could do there would be helpful. And before we vote on that, I'll observe.
Okay. I appreciate the comment.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? All right. So, all in favor of granting this liquor license, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Abstain.
Okay, one abstention from Alderman Kilburg. Okay, so this will be on the agenda at City Council meeting next.
Thank you very much.
Next week.
Yep.
5D, recommend a request by Living Well Cancer Center for police services for the bridge walk on May 18th.
So moved.
Alderman
Second.
Flanagan, Alderman Marks. Any questions? Comments? Okay, all in favor of 5D?
I just wanted to make a comment. I think it's a very good program. Living Well Cancer Center has helped many people struggling with cancer, and I think it's a well worth cause, and everybody should join the bridge walk. Thank you.
Well said. Okay, now everybody in favor of item 5D, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item 5E, recommend request for use of public right-of-way and city services for Gardenology 2013 Fair on May 18th.
Second.
Alderman Hill, Alderman Brown. Do we have any questions, comments pertaining to Gardenology? Come on up.
Can we introduce Larry?
Sure.
I think Larry can introduce himself.
Yeah, who doesn't know Larry?
We know Larry.
I think Larry just sent flowers to my wife.
Larry Casper, Elgin Maroon, ECC Spartan, two-year employee of Uncle Sam.
And Town and Country Club.
And noted merchant in town.
Absolutely.
Questions?
Questions?
I thought you told me to sit down.
This program has been growing. How is it going to get better this year?
We're going to have more people, and we're going to have 80-degree weather again. Last year, we had over 3,000 people for 6 hours. And the people, I run the welcome tent, and people last year were giving us ideas for this year, more things for the kids, more bathrooms. We're taking care of the bathrooms this year and things like that. So not as big a growth as from 4 to 5, but still growing forward, and lots of involvement, community involvement, merchant involvement, people, volunteers, a lot of donations, gifts in kind, services and goods and things. And it's all free, and it's, you know, the merchants with the cooperation of the city and the chamber and things kind of working together, having a free fun day.
And the city council can order up a good growing season for you this year. And
yes,
it'll be
could.
A great success.
No rain.
No, it's coming. It's coming. We need it.
But now, but not in May, not May 18th.
Noted.
April
Mayor,
showers.
Could you
only April showers.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, probably rain for sure.
Super
Any other questions?
Any other questions for the?
Now I expect to see all your faces there. Come see me at the welcome tent.
Absolutely. And you want our vote too.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been great. The sidewalks have been packed. People have been happy, and it just gets better every year.
It does.
Well, 99%. Somebody didn't find a bathroom or something, or somebody had a locked door. So I can't be perfect, but I stand there and I talk to everybody. Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Any other questions? Nope. Okay. All in favor of item 5F, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nope. Very good. I got ahead of myself. Sorry about that. That was 5E. 5F, recommend request of Geneva Public Library for use of public right-of-way and police services for an ice cream social on July 19th.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any questions? Questions? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, item 5G, recommend draft ordinance amending Title VII, Chapter 4, Section 4-13 of the Geneva City Code. This has to do with daytime parking permit areas. Chief Mexon is here to
move approval.
Second.
Alderman Hill.
Can tell who's board this is.
There's a certain self-interest in those motions.
As noted in the agenda, this is to recommend an amendment to 7413 of the code, which establishes a restricted parking area in the area of the high school, daytime parking restrictions. Just to give a synopsis of where this came from, at the end of January, beginning of February, the police department and Alderman Hill and Alderman Brown, we all received complaints from residents on Maple Lane expressing their concern about an increased number of students from the high school parking in front of their residence all day, every day during the week. And it was becoming a nuisance and problematic for these residences and they wanted something done. Unfortunately, there was really nothing that could be done because they weren't in violation of any type of ordinance. They were unfortunately parking at times on the edge of the grass, which was an issue that we could address. They were cutting through lawns, which we could address, but the actual parking on the street was nothing that we could address since there was no restriction in place for that particular street.
Down sight lines very badly at the corner, too.
Yes, they were. So this was exactly the same issue that we dealt with approximately 10 years ago in other streets that are in the area of the high school for exactly the same reason. For some reason, Maple Lane was not included in the restricted parking area that was designated at that time. So because this is the same issue, it only made sense that this would be something that we would consider. So the alderman and I spoke and discussed the possibility of expanding it to include it being the restricted parking area, to include Maple Lane and possibly some other streets that had not been included previously. So prior to doing that, however, we didn't want to just do it without getting the input from the residents. So Alderman Hill and Alderman Brown went out on foot and spoke with many of the residences along Maple Lane. I also sent letters out to Maple Lane residents, Willow Lane residents, North Street residents, and Ford Street residents, all the streets that would be affected by this proposed amendment. All of Maple Lane, I believe, and the alderman can correct me if I'm mistaken, I believe we had unanimous support on Maple Lane for this proposed change. There were some people on Willow Lane which expressed some opposition, so we pulled that back and decided not to move forward on including Willow Lane. But I believe it's a reasonable recommendation to include the streets that I have in the have referenced in the agenda and in the packet to be included in the daytime parking restricted area that was previously established many years ago.
Okay. Do we have any questions for Chief Maxson and Cummings?
Chief, could you go through the process by which a person would apply for the special vehicle parking tag?
Sure, I'd be happy.
Is that available online?
It is not available online, but all they need to do is come down to the police department, fill out a very brief form, and they are issued a hang tag for the specific vehicle. So every vehicle that's registered at that house is eligible for a permit hang tag.
There's also provisions if a person is having a special event at their house, a large family reunion, to notify the police department, and it's not a problem.
That's a great point.
That's also in the ordinance.
Yes.
One question. Estimated cost, $150,000 for legal costs and $10,000 to $13,000 for sign installation, depending on if the work needs to be outsourced or not by Public Works. What we're really referring to as Maple Lane is what we're going to post. Is this what you're telling us?
Well, Maple Lane between State and Gray.
Right.
But it would also be, I believe it's in the packet.
Okay. I'm just saying, okay.
But it's more than Maple Lane.
I understand
Center
that.
And Ford. Okay.
I'm just saying, though, that, I mean, there are going to be a number of signs involved here. Obviously, I mean,
yes.
You think you're going to post a street and you put one on both sides on each block and you got it covered, but really Maple is a pretty long street and actually would include more than a dozen signs.
I estimated there would be about 24, and that's okay. Probably a conservative estimate.
Right. Okay. I mean, if somebody sees that figure, they say, well, that seems like a lot of money, but
yes,
there's a lot of street involved.
Correct.
Any other questions? Does anybody in the audience have questions about this one? Nope. All right. So all in favor of item 5G, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. 5H, recommend draft ordinance amending Title 10, Section 1-6N of the Geneva City Code. This has to do with building permit fees.
It does indeed.
Does indeed. Director Unch, how are you?
Just fine. How are you?
Awesome. Thank you.
Actually, from the standpoint of our discussion here, item I is really directly related to H. And if it's okay, I'd really like to discuss both in combination here because they're both related.
I don't think we could stop you if we want.
Okay. Well, you could. I'm joined here by Dustin Schulze, our building commissioner, who's been working. We've been working together on this. You recall back in October of last year, we had a policy discussion session on plumbing inspections and plan review. And this matter before you is a follow-up on the direction provided by the council at that time. You did direct us to go ahead and solicit bids for plumbing inspection services, along with plan review services for the city. And you recall from that conversation, Illinois law does require plumbing inspections of work that's done in accordance with the Illinois, to make sure it's in accordance with the Illinois Plumbing Code. The city's been involved in many years, I think it may go back over 20, maybe even 25 years, in a program that was viewed as being an equivalent program of having licensed plumbers certify that the work they perform is in compliance with the code. They have a license that they have to hold on to, and obviously they have to make sure that they're working in compliance with the code to retain the license. But what we have found is that many communities in the valley here that did that type of program have phased it out and have gone to plumbing plan review and inspections. At this point, I can only find one other municipal entity besides Geneva that does that in this fashion. Everybody is doing inspections and plan reviews by the certified professionals that are required. Obviously, the idea of doing plumbing inspections provides an extra level of assurance to the public and to the city that the facilities are being installed properly. So what we've done is we've gone out to bid on this job and or on this contract for services, and we've got three folks that have bid on the contract. We've evaluated the results of these proposals that have come in, and we are recommending that First Inspection Services out of Batavia, Illinois, would provide the best service and the best value to Geneva. I've listed off in the staff memo the advantages that we saw in going with First Inspection Services in terms of cost, in terms of availability for inspections. One of the big things is the other companies were providing basically an upcharge in the contract where they were basically doubling the rate for two inspections, basically charging two inspection charges for one inspection if only one inspection was conducted in a given day. And so First Inspection does not do that. They pay on a they charge on a per inspection basis. So staff is recommending that we go with First Inspection Services in conducting these plan reviews and inspections. These are charges that would be passed through to permit applicants. We've taken a close look at a number of communities in the area and how our permit fees relate to those communities that also perform plumbing inspections. And with these added charges, we feel that our total costs to the permit applicant are in line with most of those communities that are already providing plumbing inspections in their communities. The memo also gets into a detailed breakout of those costs. And if you want to get into a discussion on that, we certainly can do that, as well as what the communities around us are charging for this type of inspection and plan review work. The only other aspect of this that I'd cover just briefly is that and it relates to that first item on the agenda. Title 10-1-6N of the city code does give the city the authority to charge administrative service fees of 5% of the cost of the professional service rendered. And this is really designed to handle the paperwork and the administrative process of conducting these inspections, coordinating with an outside service provider. In looking at these numbers, we've come to the conclusion that a 5% add-on by the city really doesn't cover the administrative duties associated with managing this work. And in my memo, I've outlined a number of points on the kinds of tasks that are involved with each one of these permits that are submitted for review. What we'd like to do is change that rate from 5% to 10%. And it basically equates in very round numbers to 10 or 15 minutes of staff time per permit to about 20 or 30 minutes of staff time per permit. And that encompasses permit intake, data entry, logging the permit into the system, the permit system, permit review coordination, that is the application review itself the staff performs, the coordination of inspections, and often there are multiple inspections required for given projects, and the issuance of final approvals and certificates of occupancy. So those are a quick set of comments. Representatives from First Inspection Services are here in case you have specific questions of them, and Dustin and I are available for any questions you have.
All right. So let's tackle them one at a time, but let's tackle H, the administrative fee. Does anybody have any questions for Director Unch about that? Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dick, will that fee, administration fee by the city, greatly increase the cost of the building inspection by the electrical inspection, I'm sorry, plumbing inspection, I get it right, by plumbing inspection to be conducted by the outside organization and then reinforced by the city?
It's since it's a percentage, it does change based on the permit type. For example, on a typical residential permitted inspection, that administrative fee would be $19.10. And these are just typical examples. On a typical, that was on a residential building addition, on a single family home, a new home, the charge for that administrative fee would be $34.50. In a typical commercial remodeling project, identified a fee of $26.
What would these organizations be paying now with the inspection done by the city staff?
Well, in terms of total cost, total permit cost?
Yes. Well, by the each one that you just pointed out.
Okay. In the case of the typical residential building addition, the one that was $19.10, the current fee is $226. In the case of a single-family home, the one that was $34.50 for this administrative fee, the total permit cost is $1,019.50. But bear in mind, that's just the administrative fee. That's not the plumbing permit and inspection review fee. That would be additional.
That would be the building permit fee, those figures you just gave us.
What I gave you was the total fee amount
total.
Currently charged.
Okay.
Right.
And that would give somebody, if they pass the inspection, the approval for their plumbing system that has been established?
Well, on page 4 of my memo, I kind of outline these examples. And so let's walk through them one at a time again.
Okay.
Typical residential building addition, the current total permit cost is $226. With the plan review and inspection services that are proposed, an additional $210 would be charged, and the total amount would be $436.10. In the case of a single-family residential house, the current total permit cost is $1,019.50. With a plumbing plan review and inspection added in, that's another $379.50, so it would be $1,399. And then finally, for the typical commercial remodel, the current cost is $438. The plumbing plan review and inspection services would be another $286 to a total cost of $724.
Okay, thank you. I apologize for not reading this that closely.
It's a little tricky to get into the details of the numbers here because their calculations are all called out by multipliers that are in our city code. So it's each one is sort of a unique calculation.
But, Dick, it's not changing anything for the water heater inspections at
it
all.
It is not.
That does not
in fact, in working with this contractor, we wanted to keep that water heater cost at the same level because we do get – comments occasionally from folks that are concerned about that charge, and yet we feel there's a very valuable service provided. We're talking about a piece of equipment here in the home that is powered by gas for the most part, and so you've got a real concern of making sure it's done properly. So we feel it's the right thing to be doing.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you. Dick, I'm still trying to understand the number. Currently, a single-family residence is charged $1,019.50 for inspection,
yes,
which currently includes inspecting the plumbing.
Does not include including the plumbing inspection.
We don't inspect plumbing when we currently?
We're over the last 25 years, we have been getting a certificate of plumbing compliance filed by each contractor performing work on a particular job indicating stipulating that they have installed the work in accordance with
the code.
So our
inspectors don't look at it or anything as they're out there?
There may be some related aspects to it in terms of fire stopping and that type of thing, but in terms of the actual.
So this is a completely new service or a completely new requirement, depending how you want to look at it.
It is.
It's a huge increase. I mean, this is a one-time step. People could step back and say, whoa, just a minute. This is a huge increase.
Right.
And is there any real increase in the amount of safety or possible future litigant problems? Or Well, why am I getting a 40% increase on something that I thought was safe last year?
Well, I think we have to recognize that this is also state mandated.
This is state law.
This is not
and,
us deciding to do it.
I'll tell you,
this,
Chuck.
This does not in any way relieve any of the work that your department was previously doing. I have a little trouble because you're adding on not just the new fee, but you're adding on a new administrative fee, and yet the claim is that the $1,019 is in no way relieved by this new
state
mandate.
It is not.
Mandate.
It is not. It is new. This is new work, new cost.
It's certainly going to be hard for people who want to do it. Now, I presume if you're doing a residential addition that has no plumbing, you do not have to pay this charge?
That's correct.
And the same with a commercial remodel?
Yeah, we incorporated some hypotheticals here that involve plumbing work.
Uh-huh. I mean, my guess is that many residential remodelings don't include it, and some commercial remodelings do not include plumbing.
Mm.
Would that be a fair?
I'll
getting the man who knows.
Yeah, right. I'll defer to the building commissioner on that.
Okay. But
we get both, but yeah. I think no, we have many additions are done without
right. plumbing. It's still a little little unfortunate because it is a big increase, and I hope it doesn't discourage anyone. The house is, of course, a major, many hundred thousand dollar decision, so presumably this $400 isn't going to make or break a decision, but it's a little unfortunate. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, first of all, I want to go back to the water heaters. Do or don't we need an inspection for the water heaters?
We do.
Okay, so the permit ties into the inspection cost.
Yeah, and I will maybe Dustin can explain, but we have been conducting inspections on the water heaters.
Okay, and then there is no additional charge.
That's correct.
Is what they would say.
That's correct.
To Alderman Brown's costing, the current one would be $226 plus the homeowner or the person who doing the remodeling or the extension or whatever would have to get a plumber, and they would charge them separately, right, to get the certification.
Well, the plumber would pay. They would pay the plumber for the work.
Yeah, so it would be $226 for and plus whatever that plumber
sure.
costs.
Oh, yeah.
So in essence, they might not be paying as much.
No, the plumber does not charge for the inspection per se.
The contract plumber that's doing the work, say in that home,
okay.
he's paid an amount. He's outside of the inspection process.
Okay.
This is separate.
But how about if a person would, how about a homeowner was doing it themselves
I see.
See what you're trying to say?
Yeah,
is
if they were doing a DIY type of project
on
a weekend,
right.
There would be no inspection involved.
But they would still have to have had a plumber to come in and certify,
well,
them, right?
There are some exemptions under the statute where they can perform plumbing work without a permit.
Oh, but now they can't.
No, that exemption still applies. But a permit is required for the work and you're having a contract to perform the work, then a permit is required.
Okay.
That's all right. In regards to residential and DIY or somebody that's going to do their own plumbing work, currently the Illinois law allows for owner-occupied residential, you can do your own plumbing, but it needs to be inspected by a state-licensed plumber. So that is the service that we're requesting, is that
right.
we hire a plumbing contractor that would do those inspections. Now, if you own a home and you hire someone to do the plumbing work,
who is certified?
They would also have to be a licensed plumber, and it would also get inspected through us.
Okay.
If it was work that required a permit. There is maintenance and certain items that don't require a permit, but this would be on items that were required a permit.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Those are spelled out in our code then, the exceptions?
In the Illinois Department of Public Health, it's in their
our
law.
Code references their the
correct.
Exceptions in the
yep.
Illinois code.
We adopted their code.
Like replacing a faucet or something is
correct. That's
an
right.
exception.
That's, yep.
Okay. Alderman Singer.
Yes, Dick. Estimated cost that's indicated here of $35,000. That's the salary that's going to be paid to this gentleman?
Well, first inspection services would be paid out of the municipal budget, so it has to be a budget. That's a, that's an anticipated cost based on what we think the volume will be for this service.
It's going to be reflective of how often he's being used, apparently.
That's correct. It's all based on the permit, each permit that's applied for that involves plumbing work. Right.
Now, is he then classified as an employee of the city?
No.
We don't have to concern about any benefits of any nature? None.
No, this would be an independent contractor arrangement between First Inspection Services and the city.
Okay. Got that. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Do we have any more? Alderman Kilbert.
I had a question. You said independent contractor agreement. Could you explain that a little bit more for me?
Yes, it's in your packet. There's a it's an agreement that just like any other professional level agreement with a consulting firm or independent contractor, and it outlines the terms and the conditions of a relationship between the city and that contractor.
So essentially, the contractor will be required to obtain and provide certificates of insurance for comprehensive general liability insurance, automobile liability insurance, and workman's compensation insurance.
Correct.
That's part of it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Do we have any more questions? All right. So all in favor of 5H, creating this new administrative fee, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Oh, wait. Back up. Are you sure we don't have one? Okay, folks, sorry about that. Can I have a motion for 5H?
So moved.
Okay. Alderman Singer saves me, and Alderman Bozeman helps him save me. Thank you very much. Now, can we vote on 5H again, please? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Nope. All right. 5I, the agreement with Inspection First Inspection Services. Can I have a motion for that?
So moved.
Alderman Marks and Alderman Cummings. Do we have any questions about that agreement? We do have representatives here. We have questions for them. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? 5J, recommend draft ordinance amending Chapter 8, Section 8-3-8, related to emergency services and disaster agency. Chief, before you say anything, can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Wait, let's just let him stand there silently.
I'm sweating.
I know he would appreciate you like that.
What we're bringing for tonight is to update the ordinance that was passed originally 40 years ago. At that time, the emergency services scope and practice was much different than it is today. So this is an effort to update it and get it back, get it into what's more currently be done by at the state and local level, meaning local meaning the county level. So it gets us into sync with what's going on at that level. So that's what we're have before you tonight. I can answer questions or...
Go ahead. I had a question, Chief. What is their status then with the city? In other words, if I'm an ESDA volunteer, am I an employee of the city? I'm a volunteer?
You're a volunteer.
Okay. Now, what liability does the city assume when they have volunteers that are providing this type of a service? In other words, a lot of times we're putting, I mean, these individuals voluntarily decide to put themselves maybe in harm's way.
Well, no, not that.
Well,
in
I mean.
In terms of if they're directing traffic?
Well, if you're going out scouting for tornadoes. I mean, okay. If you're sitting on the top of the hill looking to the west and you're looking for a tornado, you're putting yourself a little bit in harm's way. I guess my question is, how do we deal with the liability issue? And do they sign a waiver, essentially, that they're not going to come back and sue the city? I mean,
no, they don't.
I think
sign
it's great that we get, don't get me wrong. I think it's great that we've got these volunteers. All I'm saying is, though, that if, for instance, we had a volunteer that was racing out into Western Kane County looking for a tornado, and he was in a car accident. Does the city assume any liability in that type of an instance?
I'm going to refer that to Stephanie.
They're volunteers, but they're working under our direction, so therefore, yes.
We do assume liability.
But they are working under our direction is the key. So if they're out racing on their own accord, not under the auspices of working as an ESDA volunteer, then no. Okay. But if they're working under our direction, then yes.
Okay. And our insurer knows that.
That is correct. Okay. It's just like other volunteer boards and commissions that we have. They're all covered under our public officials' liability.
Understood, but there are certain things within the city, I think, that puts the individual at a greater risk than coming to a commission meeting. I mean, I'm at some risk tonight, but not the same level that you might have sitting on top of a hill out in western Kane County helping the police department or the fire department.
Sure. But I think beautification would fall on that.
Yeah, right.
Speaking as a person who dropped a truck tailgate on his foot, that's. No.
Just so if I could add to the conversation, this question came up about 10 years ago when we had River Park volunteers working down there, and there was a lot of debris. They were carrying a lot of heavy materials, they were planting, and the question came up then, if they were to be hurt, would they be covered under our workers' comp policy? And the answer is yes. If we, as Stephanie said, are directing them as known what they're doing, and we advocate and support what they're doing, then they're covered. And if they're doing work for the city on behalf of the city, known to us, they're actually covered under our workers' compensation, and we've already had a situation like that in the past. If, again, as she to reiterate what she said, if they're out doing something on their own without our knowledge, then they're not covered.
And that situation was not me with the tailgate.
It was not you.
Okay, any other questions for the chief? Nope. All right. So all in favor of 5J?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nope. 5K, recommend 180-day monitoring of use of Campbell Street public lot and subsequent report to council.
Could so I moved. Motion?
Second.
I heard
he can have
Baysburg and Dunn. Cummings moved and Dunn second. All right. Any questions for staff? I think that the reason for the 180 days was outlined in the packet.
Yep.
I have one question. I want just clarification. We're not only going to. The intent is not only to survey on those festival event days or weeks. In other words, it's be ongoing. I mean,
it'll be busy on the festival.
Yeah. That since the public discussion last week, we have a half a dozen or more people parking in there on a daily basis is what we've been Good. What's been reported to us. So just the publicity of talking about it has spurred a little bit of use
Great.
Of it. But, yeah, our intent is once the signage, the directional signage is up, not that we won't start before then, but on a regular basis we will be monitoring and recording not only the parking lot, but second, Campbell, and third as well, to see if the parking on those adjacent streets are similar to what's going on in the parking lot. So, and then we'll come back with a report of what we've found.
Thank you. Any other questions? Nope. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? 5L, recommend draft resolution authorizing bid and contract to EDC in the amount of $40,070 for fiscal year 2012-2013 computer replacement program. Could I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I heard Alderman Flanagan and
Singer.
Alderman Singer. Any questions about the computer replacement?
Well, I would have had a question.
Sorry, I have a question. Is this cheaper than going directly to Dell?
I think Dell had an opportunity to bid.
They did.
We sent out a bid to all providers, including Dell, and yes.
Okay, and we are forced to bid.
I mean, okay. This is not for professional services. This is for actual hardware.
Hardware, right? Yeah.
There is specific requirements they need to meet.
Specs and yeah, I understand.
So Dell Direct was one of the vendors in that.
Dell Direct. Okay. Sorry. Thank you.
Alderman Brown.
My question had to do with the number. This is compared to the number of employees, this is a smaller number, and I presume it's part of a multi-year program of cycling through the computers.
That's correct.
There is, just like we do with automobiles and trucks.
Correct. We started on a four-year cycle. We're now actually on a five-year cycle, and even then, we look at the list of those that are coming due at that five-year cycle and evaluate whether or not they need to be replaced or not. So it's not a hard, fast rule, but it's a guideline we use.
And the ones they replace can end up on iBay?
Most of them we use for parts to keep other ones going.
That also is good. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Nope. All in favor of 5L?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, folks, that brings us to new business. Does anybody on the dais have new business for the committee?
Mr. Chairman? Oh.
Alderman Singer?
I'll defer to Alderman Singer.
I defer to the woman on our council.
Defer back, and we have a tennis match.
Beautiful young lady.
Thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to thank the volunteers. Speaking of volunteers and beautification, they went out there and planted this weekend, and so I wanted to give a rousing thanks. I forgot to remind everybody that we were going to have a planting day last meeting, so I do want to thank everyone for coming out and doing a fine job. So enjoy. Thank you.
Yes, I would like to remind our citizens of Geneva to vote tomorrow. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We certainly have lots of interesting...
Anybody in the audience have any new business for the committee? I can't hear. I'm half deaf.
I just wanted to remind everybody that there's currently a citizen survey out there. It's been out for a while. We're going to take it down April 15th. If you have not filled out the survey, you go to the city's website, www.geneva.il.us, click on What's New, and then click on Citizen Survey. Also, I have hard copies available here at City Hall, so if anybody would prefer not to take it on the computer, did not get it in their utility bill, and still would like to take the survey. We do have copies here, so they have until next Monday to get those completed. So far, we've received over 500 responses.
Ooh, that's good.
Okay, so if that's it, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Flanagan. I'll have one of those. Do we have a second? Alderman Marks, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you very much. Good night, folks.
And